He holds out both of his hands, palms facing down, and whispers a spell. His modern tattoos begin to glow. He hears a little sharp intake of breath from Arthur, which turns into a full-blown gasp when the tattoos begin to move. The little birds start flapping their wings, and he concentrates harder, feeding the magic through his body until they both take flight and peel off his hands and into the air. Arthur shouts his name in surprise as the merlins start to fly around his head, swooping and soaring back and forth, illuminated from within against the night sky. He lets them flit about for a bit, enjoying how his magic is uncurling inside him like a lazy cat after a long sleep. Arthur's face is a picture of awe, and Merlin sends one of the birds to perch on his shoulder, delighting in Arthur's little sound of astonishment. He doesn't want to use up all his energy, so after a few seconds more, he regretfully calls the birds back to him. They nestle into his cupped palms, and he closes his hands over the top of them, wanting to show Arthur one last piece of flair. When he throws his hands open again, they're empty. Then he flips his palms over, and the merlins are back on his skin, like they never left. Arthur laughs, loud and joyful. "That was incredible! That was..." And he kisses Merlin swiftly, as though he can't help himself. Oh, but Merlin loves the feel of those lips against his. Arthur feels like magic feels, warm and homey and right. But he doesn't know if he can keep him, even though he wants to. Right and wrong be damned, he wants to keep Arthur. When they get back in the car, Arthur tucks the blankets around him, cocooning him in safely. "All tattoos should do that," he says as he pulls back out into the road. "Yeah, but can you imagine all those flaming skulls and three-headed snakes coming to life?" "Okay, so maybe bikers aren't allowed the magical ones." Merlin snorts. "Seriously, though, I think that was the first time I ever saw magic used for something other than... well, it was pretty amazing." Merlin realizes with a slight lurch in his stomach that the only magic Arthur's really seen up close and personal before was the spell that nearly killed him all those years ago. "I could show you a lot of stuff," he says. "Not just amazing things, practical things, useful things. Things that can help other people. There's a lot that magic can do."
"I'd like to see," Arthur says sincerely.
The sat-nav interrupts momentarily, and Merlin thinks they've lost the thread of that particular conversation until Arthur speaks again.
"Your tattoos were the first thing I noticed about you," he says. "If you had done that little trick the first time we met, I probably would have realized I was attracted to you a lot sooner."
Arthur's blushing slightly, and Merlin can't help but be charmed. "I thought you were hot when I first saw you," he says. "But then you started following me around, so I changed that to creepy." Arthur laughs.
"I definitely deserved that."
"What did you like about my tattoos?" Merlin says, leaning a bit closer to the driving seat.
"I'd never seen ones like them before," Arthur says thoughtfully. "Or maybe I had, but I didn't like them until I saw them on you."
He glances at Merlin.
"Why did you get them?"
Merlin shrugs. "Different reasons. Like I told you on our date. And yes, Arthur, I refuse to stop putting date in annoying scare quotes. I live with a tattoo artist in Japan and she got me interested. Then I liked the merlin so much it seemed logical to get the maple leaves in Norway."
"And the one on your chest?"
Merlin draws in a breath, and Arthur must hear it.
"You don't have to tell me," he says quickly, "if it's personal."
"It is personal," Merlin says. "But I don't mind." Arthur knows that his father is dead. He thinks it was in whatever stupid information pack Arkstone prepared on him, so there was no point holding it back. He's told Arthur he was shot by the police in case of mistaken identity, but he never elaborated any further than that. Arthur said he was sorry to hear it, and the discussion was closed. Talking about Balinor is still almost impossible, after all this time. He did a lot of his healing when he went back to Ireland again, but even now he can only bear to discuss it with his mum. Even Freya and Edwin only know the basics. And Gwen, of course, who was there for him when he first faced up to what had happened. He reminds himself to write to Gwen if he makes it to tomorrow. And I, and Elena. Good people were hard to find, and good friends were in even shorter supply. He doesn't want to do everything on his own anymore. One of the hardest one lessons of the last few weeks was that he needs help sometimes, that he can't only ever rely on himself. He vowed to never trust anyone again when he first woke up in that cell. But where would that get him? He'd probably end up like Uther. It was far better to take the risk and reach out to other people, no matter the consequences. That in mind, he wants to tell the truth. My father had a smaller version of the same tattoo. I got it in memory of him.
How long after he died was that?
Arthur asks, sympathy in his tone. A few years. I lost my way after he died. For a long time. I mean, there was a year when I just laid on a couch and watched TV. I couldn't see the point in anything. And then my mom sent me off traveling, and I started to see what else was out there in the world. And it got a little easier. So I went back to Ireland where he died, and I got the tattoo as a tribute to him. Merlin draws the blanket up to his chin and looks out of the window. I was there when it happened. When he got shot. I saw it all.
Oh, Jesus.
Arthur says quietly. It's better than it was, Merlin says, staring up at the stars. But it still hurts. I don't think it'll ever stop hurting.
I am so sorry,
Arthur says, and his voice is bruised. Yeah, Merlin says, and he suddenly doesn't want to talk about it anymore. Then something strikes him. Arthur, I don't... My dad removed my microchip. I don't have one. I'm probably the only magical in the country your dad can't eliminate tomorrow. He expects Arthur to look shocked, but instead he looks slightly uncomfortable.
I know. Not about your dad removing it, but... Oxo knew you didn't have a chip.
Oh, Merlin says. Were you ever going to ask...
No,
Arthur says firmly.
My dad might have wanted me to find out, but I didn't. Not my business.
Merlin digests this, settling back in his seat. I'll be arrested, he says, if anyone finds out. It feels odd to talk about this out loud. The secret he's guarded for so long. It feels odd to talk about this out loud. The secret he's guarded for so long.
I won't tell, Arthur says swiftly. And the bill is sure to pass now. It won't be illegal anymore.
Then his face darkens.
If there's any magicals left to benefit.
Don't get nihilist on me.
Why? Because we're on our way to prevent an attempted genocide?
Arthur's laugh is hollow, and Merlin reaches across to squeeze his knee. We can do this. Even if my magic's not up to scratch, we can maybe move the device or go to the police. The government might have some way of shutting all the microchips down or something. It's all just maybes, but Merlin's not prepared to give up yet. Even if he can't destroy the thing, they'll have to find another way. They'll just have to. Arthur nods, seemingly composing himself.
You're right.
I usually am, Merlin says, and gets the half-smile he wants. It's no good for Arthur to despair now. They're going to need every bit of cunning they can summon. He eats a bit more and makes Arthur eat and drink something, and then practices tiny little spells to get his magic ready. Arthur bans him from spelling the radio on and off after a while, though he does laugh when Merlin unbuttons his shirt to the navel with a wink of his eye. But after that, he insists Merlin goes back to sleep for a while to conserve his energy. When he wakes up again, they've arrived.